Blog Talk Radio.
Well, there are some times when that Warren Zevon music sounds great, and there are some times when the circuits are not with us. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Progressive News Network. I'm your host, News Director Rick Spezak. I've got some really entertaining information for you tonight, important information about things going on, not just here in Florida, but things going on in Europe as well that I think are very important. A couple important news stories that you should be aware of. The Defense Authorization Act, which has some really interesting little additions in there, in which they've decided that America itself should be regarded as a battle zone, and they've extended the president's war powers so that he can dispense with both habeas corpus and posse comitatus, and that if a person is designated as a terrorist by the executive branch, you or they can be arrested, held indefinitely, no charges, and basically disappear, just like in countries that we used to call, terrorist states, maybe. And, I called our local senator, Senator Nelson, to see where he stood on that. And his office was very proud to say that they had voted in favor of the Udall Amendment. And the Udall Amendment was addressing the idea of indefinite detention, Homeland Security, letting the military grab you on the streets of any town, USA. Unfortunately, that amendment was defeated. And so I went ahead, and since the Senate did pass this disgusting gutting of the Constitution, I went ahead and checked to see how the senator's vote went when it came down to endorsing this whole thing. Well, guess what, friends? He did vote in favor of it. So while if you call his office and they tell you that, hey, he voted against it, he voted in favor of the Udall Amendment, you should also know that when push came to shove, even though our constitutional scholar president says he's going to veto it, let's hope he does, even though the president says he's against it, our Democratic senator, Mr. Nelson, went ahead and said, hey, gutting the Constitution is fine with him. Yeah, president should have the right to just arrest any old buddy he wants on the street. No trial necessary, so if you get grabbed on the street with no trial, held indefinitely, you'll know that that's just fine with our Senator Nelson. That's Bill. Yeah, Bill Nelson. Of course, Marco, he was all for it all the way from the go. Now, we have to wait and see. If you call the White House and let them know that you want to make sure the president does, in fact, veto that disaster. So please, take pen in hand, finger to keyboard, voice to phone, and you let them know what you think. Also, you should know that Newt Gingrich, the current leader in Republican Follies, he's come out with some interesting quotes. He says, for example, this is a direct quote from Newt, I am not a natural leader. I'm too intellectual. I'm too abstract. I think too much. So if you think that's pretty cool, well, then Newt's your man. He just thinks too much. Another really interesting quote. You remember, Newt's the leader, leader of the pack. He's got that Republican vote just socked away. And Newt said that when asked about a homeless man who was shot in front of the White House, he says, well, listen, you know, the simple problem to all these protesters in the park, he said, just give the park police more ammunition. So there's a solution to all those protesters in the park, huh? Arrests are up at Occupy DC and Occupy Portland. And we'll get a little more into that later. A couple other stories I want to mention. Our good representative, Mr. Deutsch, has come up with a really interesting idea. He is calling for a newly proposed amendment to the Constitution. He introduced it to reform campaign finances in the U.S. the outlawing corporate cash that undermines the public interest in our elections and democracy. Hey, that spells occupied. The Occupied Amendment would amend the U.S. Constitution to make it clear the corporations are not people, the corporations cannot spend money in our elections, that Congress and the states can regulate corporations, that Congress can limit and require full disclosure of all political contributions and expenditures by all individuals and private entities. There's actually a website for this bill. I would urge you to check it out. I think you may find it as interesting as I do. The name of the bill was clearly an homage to the protests taking place across the country in solidarity with the Occupy Wall Street movement, which is displaying clear dissatisfaction with the county's economic situation and the political power of financial institutions. Among the long list of issues important to the Occupy Wall Street has also been campaign finance in the U.S. During his interview yesterday, Deutsch discussed the impetus for the legislation. He said, quote, "If you look at the protests taking place not just on Wall Street, but across the country, there is a fundamental belief that Congress isn't working for the American people, and there's evidence to back that up," Deutsch said on the Rattigan Show. "People are frustrated at what they see, and again, this spans the political spectrum, from the Occupy movement to the rest of the political spectrum. Everyone would agree that this is far too long. Corporations have really occupied the nation's capital," Deutsch said. "It makes it really difficult for the people to have control over their government." Remember, the citizens who employ those public servants. According to the website created to garner support for the amendment, the Occupied Amendment will end corporate influence in our elections by, number one, overturning Citizens United and outright banning the ability of corporations to use their profits to influence our elections. Number two, making it clear that corporations, as well as entities formed to represent corporations, are not real living people with rights protected by our Constitution. They are entities established under our laws and thus subject to our laws. Reasserting the authority of Congress and the states to crack down on anonymous third-party groups flooding our elections with malicious attack ads and to limit campaign contributions and expenditures by individuals, candidates, and all types of private entities. The amendment has four sections, each addressing one of the major aspects of the country's campaign system that Deutsch sees as corrupt. What an interesting development. And by the way, speaking of developments for the Occupy movement, you also should know that there have been arrests in Washington, Occupy D.C., Occupy Portland, Oregon, and Occupy Anchorage. City fathers are suggesting that they should be inspecting the Occupy igloo. So important news on that front. I want to go on and get to the really interesting interview we have tonight with a gentleman by the name of Ludwig Poljanek of the SPSP. He is a member of the European Human Rights Commission and also was recently a candidate for Prime Minister of Slovenia. And you might ask, well, you know, Progressive News Network is focused really on Florida activists. Well, we do have a Florida activist. We have Miss Lillian Stambacher with us to discuss this. Lillian, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Glad you could join us. And the thing that I thought was so important was not just Mr. Poljanek's work with the European Human Rights Commission, but also his exposing of the problem of crony capitalism. And when we see here in America that too many times corporations make the laws, corporations make the rules, corporations decide what laws are enforced and who gets the laws enforced and who doesn't get laws enforced, this is a real, very serious and sober glimpse of where corporate cronyism or crony capitalism could really take us. So it's a very important story, and I'm glad you could join us tonight to listen to it. Lillian, do you want to frame any of this for us before we start, or do you want to make your first comments after we get started?
Well, I just want to correct one more thing. Ludwig is not the member of the commission, but he was designated by the commission to be a special advocate to the Court of Human Rights, European Court of Human Rights, for people coming, complaining from Slovenia. So that I just want to be clear about that.
Thank you.
I think that we are facing very much the same thing. We are fighting against the same thing. That's the reason we're out in the streets and the Occupy movement, and that's the reason we're so dissatisfied and have such low voter turnout. But it seems like we're really starting to occupy our own space as governing ourselves, as we should, more and more. So I'm glad that we're kind of moving in solidarity with the SPSP party.
Well, thanks so much, Lillian. I'm really glad you could join us. I'm going to go ahead and start part one of our interview. Ladies and gentlemen, Ludvig Poljanic. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Hello, my name is Rick Spizak. Should I address you, sir, as Mr. Poljanic?
Yes, good day. My name is Poljanic Ludvig. I'm online.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Also for you.
We are so honored because the show that I do, Progressive News Network, is all about how to make this world, in fact, possess those ideals that we talk about so much. All too often, economic concerns, rough political power steps on human rights. And one of the things that intrigued me most, sir, was to hear about the wonderful work that you've been doing in human rights issues, and then how you've brought that home to your country, and you're trying to establish those same important values in your government, sir. Welcome.
Yes, I'm very surprised because I'm the first time on line with Director with America, and I wish good for all Americans. And from Slovenia, Slovenia is a small country in the middle of Europe, and I live here, and I also see the problem is in this small country because we live 50 years in other system. You know, we live in communist system, and 20 years ago we become to independent country. We have own constitution, which is very nice, very good constitution. I see in this constitution all these things which is important to good life, to people relations and all these things. But the problem is in Slovenia is very big because the people who live in Slovenia don't know what is constitution, what is the convention, European convention, or in case what's the global convention? In our school, we don't have possibilities, or I see the teachers don't teach people in these human rights. What's the base? What's the history of these human rights? And this is big problem.
I can understand that, sir. Unfortunately, although we've worked for a long time to try to get a very good education system here for a variety of reasons, part of which is economic, we haven't achieved what we might hope would be a good education for everyone. All too often, many citizens cannot get access to good education. But I want to, you know, again, thank you so much for bringing your concerns about human rights to our audience, because I think human rights are the same throughout the world. They're oft, all too often challenged by economic powers, by political authorities that find it much more convenient to have a pliable, uneducated constituency rather than constituents who insist on their rights. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit, sir, about how you started becoming active in human rights issues.
Yes, sir. I can tell all the people I see and hear in TV 22 or 23 years ago what's going in the former Yugoslav republics, and also I see what's in Romania, what's in Romania going, what's going in East Germany, and I see something is wrong. And then I study what's the wrong and what's interesting, what is good. And I studied the laws, I studied the documents which be used in other parts of Europe, also in world, and I see the convention, European convention, have very nice articles because they put human rights in first level in life. When Slovenia became the independent country in 1991, we have a lot of ideas in our heads how to do the best country, the best position for people, and I personally every time studies what's the difference between Slovenia and Germany. Because in first case I see the differences in personal standard in life of people in Germany or in Slovenia. I have a lot of friends who works in Germany, and they have good incomes in months, and also they have good cars and have no troubles with money. But we have all time the problem with money. And in 1999, I see the first problem because I have meeting with someone which have the problem with driver license. The police and the judge confiscate this person driver license and put them to make
once again,
and for me is this because this man no troubles in traffic. They have no problems, just a police control. But this just police control is in Slovenia normally as in Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, because if you drive in Slovenia, you can see every 10 or 20 kilometers lot of policemen. And someone come to me from Italy, ask me what's wrong in Slovenia in 1999, because a lot of police is on the road. And then I study the constitution, and I see it's all wrong, because 27 article of Slovenian constitution said, in case this, what I ask Ms. Lilian to read and to please, Mr.
Lilian, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
We call Ms.
Lilian, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Please, can you read Article 27 from Slovenian Constitution?
Okay, any person charged with a criminal offense shall be presumed innocent until found guilty in a final judgment.
This article said all, but in case police and other government officers controlled people every day, every minute, without any permission of judge or any permission of other government officers, without any evidence of some troubles in traffic. This is problem. The other problem is, if policeman said you drive too quickly, without any technical machines with have permission of judges, and they put you 500,000 euros, 2,000 or 3,000 euros penalty, you have no possibilities to go to the judge to make you innocent. This is problem. Because our judge system is not going in case with Constitution and European Convention. This is big problem. Hello?
Yes. Innocent until proven guilty is always a big problem. And when the courts have to rely on the police officer's opinion alone without any verification, that can certainly be abused. I understand.
The other problem is a lot of people, in case police and other government officers, they said in year 2009, 500,000 people are controlled, and if you know that the all of Slovenia inhabitants is about 2 million, this is abnormal. Every four person is controlled as a problem. And if you live in Slovenia and go outside Slovenia, you think you are in a new world. Also, it's a problem that when you have contact with government officers, all of type, the taxis, the inspectors, and so on, you have no human rights in even cases, because they don't put you to normal time to make decision or to make evidences or make any steps to provide you human rights. You in Slovenia, you can get from judge three days to make your decision or make your opposition or this is abnormal.
Well, that's the end of our first section. And I think the good gentleman, Poljanic, raises some very interesting issues. And before I get into some of the questions you raised, I was wondering, Lillian, could you tell us a little bit about how you first met Mr. Poljanic?
Sure. I was in Slovenia visiting and aware of him, invited to go and attend a grassroots gathering that he was hosting. And he's been hosting these all over the country, trying to educate the people about what their rights are, because that's one of the big problems, is that they have no idea. And that I see the same thing happening here in the United States. The teaching of the United States Constitution has been eliminated from many, many of the history curriculums throughout the country. So when a populace doesn't know about their rights, it's very difficult to stand up and defend them. So he was there addressing the fact that the people were suffering and helping them to understand that there was remedy under a rule of law, that there is remedy, that they don't have to be as dissatisfied and disgruntled as they are. So that was my first introduction to him.
You know, I see so many parallels just in those very first comments, you know, from the fact that the people are unaware of their rights. They don't know their own constitution. Mm-hmm. They certainly don't know anything at all about the European Articles of Human Rights. Mm-hmm. He also says that, you know, there is one out of every four persons is controlled. And when you look at the increasing privatization of prisons, the incentives here to have people arrested for more and more reasons, incarcerated for greater and greater things, where they've actually taken this zero tolerance nonsense to the point where elementary school children are being taken to court over minor infractions that would have a few years ago amounted to, okay, go stand in the corner. Yeah. It now becomes a matter of a judicial inquiry and a legal matter. Go ahead.
It's getting to be very oppressive. I mean, even to the extent that we are being monitored electronically everywhere that we go now. And the courts, I don't know whether they've ruled, but I think there's a ruling before our Supreme Court now whether the police can, in fact, track you without a warrant, track your every movement, follow you as though you're a criminal, just randomly.
Yep. And the Google and Yahoo, the search engines, are turning over their information without any hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Google, who took a motto, first do no harm, kind of mimicking the Hippocratic Oath, has turned in Russian and Chinese bloggers. So it's quite a brave new world we're in. And when you look at the rates of incarceration of Americans, especially the African-American population, it's unconscionable.
It really is.
And when you combine these draconian laws, this first strike stuff, which evidently seems not to apply to corporate crime, you've got people with, you know, these increased amounts of people who are, you know, dealing with the prison system, dealing with the justice system. I just heard a story that was heartbreaking this weekend about a young girl who had some tranquilizers in her pocket, and she ended up being arrested, and she was assaulted while being held. And then on top of that, when she had some dental work done, they claimed that the painkiller she was given for her dental service, her dental care, constituted a breach of her her probation, and she was thrown into adult prison.
Oh, my heavens. How old was she?
I think she was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these abuses are around us. So I have a great deal of respect for the efforts that Mr. Polyanik and his people from SPSP are fighting, because I think we're fighting the exact same thing.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and bring on part two, okay?
Okay.
I understand. So seeing these problems, you began to work to try to find a solution?
Yes. This problem, amount of this problem is too big, and I decided to build one association named CLAP for Protection Drivers and Citizens to provide, to help people to make good decision or good steps in these cases. But government know this is one person or one civil organization which is against him then. And they try to stop us in system which we know in former Yugoslavia. First step is to make troubles with financing. The second trouble, they don't allow us to speak about this. But 39 articles of Slovenian Constitution said we can tell in free all words and all decisions.
Lillian, can you read that?
The freedom of expression of thought, freedom of speech and public appearance of the press and other forms of public communication and expression shall be guaranteed. Everyone may freely collect, receive, and disseminate information and opinions. Except in such cases as are provided by law, everyone has the right to obtain information of a public nature in which he has a well-founded legal interest under law.
The problem is the government make a big action to not allow people to collect or make demonstrations against dropping the human rights, and they don't allow to complete people in case the article 42 from Slovenian constitution.
Lillian?
The right to peacefully assembly and public meeting shall be guaranteed. Everyone has the right to freedom of association with others. Legal restrictions of these rights shall be permissible where so required for national security or public safety and for protection against the spread of infectious disease. Professional members of the Defense Force and Police may not be members of political parties.
Also, in this, in 2005, we established this club in 1st October. In 1 year, we have about 2,000 members, and we write complaints for these people which have troubles. In case the biggest amount of troubles became in road, because on the road we have the touch with the government, is very brutal. This word is very hard, but it's real life. This contact. If you stop policemen in Slovenia, you know you have pay without any possibilities to make a decision or opposite the policeman. This is problem. In case we write a lot of this complaint to police station, to judges, to prime judges, to constitution judges, and they don't allow any possibilities to make a good decision. They also put or cancelled. They only cancelled the people, and they cancelled the human rights. And this is problem which I study. And I also said, for me, it's very, very, I'm very surprised, because in July 2010, in beginning of July 2010, in one afternoon, call me on my cell phone, call me the Secretary of President of European Court in Strasbourg. He asked me, I'm very surprised, because I never expected this, because in European community lived about 600 million people, and they found me, my name. You must know, my name is never right in any documents which become to European court, and I'm very surprised, and for me it's a big question how they find me, who is around this world, and so on. And here, this secretary is very nice man, speak English, and he asked me if I prefer to be a public lawyer or public attorney or legal assistant in other cases which going in European court. Our club for protection drivers and citizens put about 700 cases to European court of human rights. In this case, which is very, these cases are very, very hard, because people pay penalty or go to prison because they have no possibilities to pay very high penalty. This is abnormal in all cases. In Slovenia, we have, if you can, possibilities to pay penalty for traffic problems, you can be in prison in amount 30 days after become out. You must also pay the penalty. This is this case is abnormal for me. I don't understand this.
So you accepted this responsibility to try to help your fellows before the European Commission. That's really wonderful, sir.
Yes, I and my friends do all the action in these cases, because when study the European Convention, three articles is very important. In they are in the same case, they articles in not different as constitution articles, and this is the sixth article of convention, which says.
You're saying Article 6 of the European Convention?
Right.
Okay, I'll have to pull that out, but you didn't read that one. Let's see here.
Thank you for your help, Lillian.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. right to a fair trial, and the determination of his civil rights and obligations or of any criminal charge against him, everyone is entitled to a fair and public hearing within a reasonable time by an independent and impartial tribunal established by law. Judgment shall be pronounced publicly, but the press and public may be excluded from all or part of the trial in the interest of morals, public order, or national security in a domestic and democratic society where the interests of juveniles or the protection of the private life of parties so require, or to the extent strictly necessary in the opinion of the court in special circumstances where publicity would prejudice the interests of justice. Everyone charged with a criminal offense shall be presumed innocent until proven guilty according to law. Shall I go on? Is there more?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone charged with a criminal offense has the following minimum rights: to be informed promptly in a language which he understands, in detail of the nature and cause of the accusation, to have adequate time and facilities for the preparation of his defense, to defend himself in person or through legal assistance of his own choosing, or, if he has not sufficient means to pay for legal assistance, to be given it free when the interests of justice so require, to examine or have examined witnesses against him, and to obtain the attendance and examination of witnesses on his behalf under the same conditions as witnesses against him, to have the free assistance of an interpreter if he cannot understand or speak the language used in court.
Ah, once again, the parallels are so profound, so significant.
Yeah.
I happen to be thinking of some news I saw both on the Bradley Manning case and on the Julian Assange case. There's been recently a call by the UN Human Rights Reporteur for the U.S. to answer on the treatment of Bradley Manning. Why was he held for over a year in solitary? He was not given any information about the charges he was going to be facing. And, of course, there's been no answer. And then when you consider this National Defense Authorization Bill with its allowances for the executive branch to be able to claim that someone's a terrorist with no trial, no evidence, holding them indefinitely, no right of habeas corpus. And, of course, since they say this is going to be a military act and held in military prison, that violates the posse comitatus, which has been long in place, where the military would not be used against civilians. And, of course, if you look at the way the police departments across the United States have been militarized again and again and again, over and over and over, whether it be tanks or military-grade weapons. Recently, I don't know if you heard the there was a story where Marines who were on the front lines of Occupy Wall Street were telling the police that they were using tear gas and pepper spray that using rules that would violate what the U.S. military was doing in Iraq. They were applying more strenuous attacks on American citizens in America than American soldiers were allowed to use on Iraqis.
I find that there are a lot of police organizations or police forces throughout the United States who have a lot of respect and appreciation for it, but there's certainly a proliferation of those who are just power hungry. They're just not not really there for keeping order, not really there for the people, but there to kind of feed their own sense of self-importance. And I think that's always a dangerous place to go. And there's a story recently also about militarization in Great Britain now, with the peaceful protesters there who are upset about the austerity programs, have been met with something like a wall, great, big, huge metal wall, protecting from the people, you know, protecting food from the people, protecting those who are supposed to protect the people from the people. It's very insidious.
Yeah, kind of a portable Berlin Wall is the way I characterize.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking a little bit about what Luther was saying. I think I want to put this in context also a little bit. In the United States, you know, you go and get a driver's license. It takes you maybe, what, an hour, 2 hours if you're old enough, and you have to pay a little tiny fee. It's not like that in Slovenia. It is months of study before you're allowed to take the test. It's like going to a trade school and obtaining a certificate in a particular trade. And it's extremely expensive. So then to be able to lose that at the whim of a police officer who's just decided that they're going to stop you because, they get paid the more tickets that they fill out. They have no opportunity for judicial review, so no due process at all. For these extraordinarily high fines to be levied, and then if you can't pay it, to be put into a debtor's prison. It's really a double whammy when it comes to violation of human rights. And something that I think that we can, I can't see why we wouldn't look forward to exactly the same thing here.
And of course, you know, not to belabor the obvious, but if you don't have enough money to pay the fine before you're put in prison.
Yeah.
How you're supposed to be earning that back.
30 days later, huh?
It seems like it's a guaranteed one-way ticket. And, you know, not to, again, belabor the obvious, but the whole American private industry of prisoning also has been seen larger and larger. They're taking advantage of these indentured servants, if you will, and they're putting them to economic use. They're being rented out.
That's right.
So the prison industry feeds a low-end kind of business interest that, you know, it's a terrible, terrible cycle.
I think it's certainly a conflict of interest. And in the case of Slovenia, I think that it is the penalty is really an exaction of penalty on the family, which I think is all another violation of human rights.
Well, you know, I think that Mr. Poyanik, taking on this this incredible, difficult problem, it just shows such, you know, every time, you know, I hear some terrible story about some abuse of power, you hear about these brave human beings who stand up, who take stands, who insist on human decency. It makes me feel very good. It gives me hope in a world that is too often in chains.
That's why I'm so proud of our young people out there in the Occupy movement who are educating themselves and helping to educate many of us who have taken too much for granted and who really are standing on the front line in our protection.
Okay. Let me go ahead and go on to part three.
Yes, this Article 6 is very important because in this one article is compressed few articles from Slovenian constitution. Very important is this Article 6 allowed the people to have a legal assistance, to own choice. In case I'm going to a few courts in Slovenia as a legal assistant, and they put me in case.
Rejected.
But in the same country, in other court, I'm rejecting. Also, I must say to you, when you have some troubles with police or tax authorities or other authorities, they put you to court. The court make decision without you put in court. You have no possibilities to say any words on court. And when you write complaint, they in few days they canceled. And you have no possibility to defend your human rights, defend your materials, your finances, or other life important things. And this is for my opinion, is my work is going in this case to protect people, to make the human rights in base of his life. in base in authority, in base of human. In private life, is problem in Slovenia because we have no. Also, they dropped the article number 35 because in Slovenia we have no possibilities to protect your private life or private property because the police and other authorities, they don't know these articles, and you can in afternoon see the television. Someone comes to your house to ring in, and some policemen come to you and ask you about your neighbor without your permission to come to your house, without permission of judge, and so on. It is abnormal, and I'm in 56th year, and I can also say in 2011 the government and authorities working in the same case as in former Yugoslavia. In differences now between now and 30 years ago, we have in Slovenia in these moments good cars, good clothes and so on, but in human rights we going 20 or 30 years back. This is not only my words. Some people say, some doctors say this and so on.
May I read to you Article 36 of the Slovenian Constitution? I think it might help to put this in context.
Very interesting is if you can write in first article 35, then 36.
Sure.
Please. Thank you.
Okay. Article 35, protection of right to privacy and personality rights. The inviolability of the physical and mental integrity of every person, his privacy and his personality rights shall be guaranteed. In Article 36, inviolability of dwellings. Dwellings are inviolable. No one may, without a court order, enter the dwelling or other premises of another person, nor may he search the same against the will of the resident. Any person whose dwelling or other premises are searched has the right to be present or to have a representative present. Such a search may only be conducted in the presence of two witnesses. Subject to conditions provided by law, an official may enter the dwelling or other premises of another person without a court order and may, in exceptional circumstances, conduct a search in the absence of witnesses where this is absolutely necessary for the direct apprehension of the person who has committed a criminal offense or to protect people or property.
Yes, this is very interesting. The 35th article of Slovenian Constitution is very important. In case, I must say, from 1st May of 1998, we have law in Slovenia which said if you drive drunk or if you drive too quickly, you can get 18 points, penalty points, and you drop and government take your driver license, but not for time 1 year or 2 years, but you must renew.
Do it again.
You must do it again. You must go in school, driver school, and so on. It costs a lot. Also, you put the penalty. And if you know, in Slovenia, we have in this moment about 1,100,000 drivers, and in case from today they put off about 250,000 driver license, you know which money is in case. Also, I can say that one renew driver license and penalties and these all schools and these taxes and so on cost approximately $3,000 for person. This is problem. Other countries in Europe, if you have penalty points, the judge tells you you cannot drive 1 year or two years, but your license is in case. This is problem. And after this problem, the people who lost the driver license have big troubles with business, with family, with children, with all life function. This is problem.
So essentially the driving privilege has been turned into a pressure point by the government, a way of extorting authority, a way of getting money, and you've worked to try to get those rules, should we say, maybe work to get that constitutional rights actually employed.
Yes, I see in these 12 years which I working on these cases, the government don't working in case to make safe and efficient traffic, but they only make to make money, and this is problem, because in this case, when they put only money for people, they make a big social problems to these persons, to families. Because we talking about from 1991, from today, to about 25 to 30 billions of euros, which people lost without any court, without judge rulings, without other steps which are provide constitution and convention. This is problem. In small country, in Slovenia, all of people have troubles. They don't make any traffic accidents. They don't make any problems. They don't make but have problem with government, with police, with taxes, and so on, because the government make fishing people to make mistake. But in case we know all drivers in every day make small
mistakes
in driving and so on, but in Slovenia we have no small mistakes. We have mistakes which cost lot of money, lot of lives, progress, and so on. And this is in case all the people which come in Slovenia, outside Slovenia, I collaborated with people from Italy, from Germany, Austria. They ask me what's wrong in Slovenia. I see it in case. We have all a lot of policemen on the roads as a civil war. This is problem. In case we have two times more policemen as Germany in amount of people. This is problem. And when I come as a legal representative to police station, to taxis offices, to other inspector offices, and when I tell you I am a legal representative in case of constitution, in case of European convention, they see me as from Mars, not from Earth. This is problem. I honestly say I'm very depressed with them. I'm very depressed because when I talking with my friends, doctor of justice, diplom justice, and so on, they see me as strange men, because no one know that the base on, in Slovenia life, in relations with, between people, is constitution and European convention. And I, when I study what's the base of European convention or the base of Slovenian constitution, is world constitution, the base of world constitution or convention is American constitution. And I know though, I know this. And this is very important, and I'm very, very glad to can talk to American people to represent the problems in Slovenia, because your constitution is based for all democratic constitution around the world. This is very important to know.
Well, sir, we here in America, those of us who pay attention to constitutional issues, believe that our constitution, like so many across the world, are a work in progress. Because when people don't pay attention, those rights that are written down on paper aren't closely observed by police and politicians. So we feel a great deal of solidarity with you as you try to make sure that those laws that are on the books are applied in everyday life. And I salute you, sir, for the work that you're doing. Well, that was the end of part three. Very interesting presentation. It seems that it's not just a national security state, it's a full employment program for all the, probably the relatives,
yeah,
of the security state people.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about the time to prepare if you have to go to trial. They'll give you no time to actually prepare any sort of a defense. And they kind of pull the same trick this time with the election. Here is an election that just took place, and it was a special election for those who are going to be in Parliament and for the Prime Minister for the next 4 years. And it took place in advance with only 40 days' notice. So there was no time for any other opposing political party, such as SPSP, to really pull it together the way they would have wanted to participate in that election. They also pulled a really dirty little trick by eliminating all SPSP candidates from the ballot. And they did that by kind of interfering with the internal politics of the party and trying to make some judgments where they had no right to. That's being appealed. And they also are very much in control of who gets access to the state media, to the percentage of time that is reserved for political candidates. And 75% of that time is given and devoted strictly to the incumbents. So there's really not much of an opportunity, again, for people to learn about the alternatives that are available to them.
Yep, when the state controls the access to the media and the
yes.
powerful forces control the media and
mm-hmm.
the rules, obviously they're going to structure those in such a way as to freeze candidates out.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so much of the time we see the same sort of thing going on here in Martin County, where my studio is. They've actually, the Republicans actually ran two Democrats against the Democrat.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, these people had no relationship to the local party. They were not heard of. And curiously enough, the people that were running their campaigns were Republicans. Shock, mm-hmm. surprise.
No, not anymore.
And, you know, I was surprised. I was shocked. When I first moved here, I heard that the Democrats hadn't even run anyone because they basically had given up. But thankfully, those days are gone. We actually have an Occupy in many, many towns. We even have one in the little, what used to be thought of as a very conservative town that my studio is located in.
That's good to hear.
It's good news in a lot of ways. But so what you're saying is that they basically froze out the SPSP from this last election?
Totally. Eliminated them from the ballot. They're actually going to be appealing, and I'm helping them with it, to appeal that to the European Court of Human Rights for violating the right to participate in governance of one's country and violation of the rights of all the people and a country to freedom of the press, freedom, you know, to be, to even know about the SPSP, and freedom to actually vote.
Well, you know, again, I see all these parallels.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Party, which used to be thought of as the party of working class and the party of working people, and minorities, recently had there was a debate where the discussion came up of should they have a primary in Palm Beach County, and the powers that be argued that no, they didn't need any primaries. We don't need to second guess the opinion of the backroom boys.
Yeah.
And frankly, I just find that the absolute antithesis of the democratic process. But
yeah.
Before we go any further, there's some things I want to cover. I need to mention a couple things. I want to mention our sponsors, Imagineering Productions and Media Goddess Worldwide. Media Goddess Worldwide is a multimedia service company who does public relations and media. And then also Imagineering Productions, which is a full-service web media SEO and web marketing company, and without their backing, these shows could not continue. I also want to mention some of my colleagues who are providing really good quality progressive news. Of course, the inconquerable, the inestimable, the extraordinary Gwen Holden Berry with her Here Be Monsters show, which is Sundays at 6 p.m., and then also she's doing a daily show during the week in support of Occupy. And then also I want to mention Amy Tidd, who has a wonderful show, and that's Saturday at 10 a.m. If you go to the PNN page, you can see links to both of those, and I encourage you to check those out. Also, Harriet Lerman has a wonderful progressive show. I try to support as many of my fellow progressive broadcasters as possible, because it's not always the best time to get to hear anyone that's live. So we are all archived. Please take advantage of those shows. It's important news that you should know about. You know, if you watch commercial news, you're going to be depressed because the way they frame what few tidbits of facts they can provide between the important celebrity news and, of course, those all-important sports scores. So don't be depressed. Watch and listen to the good people of Progressive News and our other progressive broadcasters, because you're hearing about the good work that good, solid, progressive people are doing every day. So stay tuned, okay? And next I want to do one other story that is important you should know about. Let's see. You know, it's not enough that they use military-style tactics and weapons against Occupy. The L.A. Police Department found it necessary to send undercover officers to Occupy L.A., and the AP reports that a police source says they wanted to uncover information on the protesters' intentions. Like, what are they planning to do? Resist eviction? Or what plans they had to use tools against the police? The source, when asked to remain anonymous, told AP that some protesters were preparing allegedly bamboo spears and other potentially dangerous weapons in advance of the expected eviction. Of course, that source of information was, should we say, embedded in the police department. They put this all together in LAPD, in a city with $72 million budget shortfall. They paid undercover police officers who were unnecessary because Occupy meetings are open to the public. Hello! An anonymous officer who can't be held accountable for his or her outlandish claims, saying that bamboo spears and other potential dangerous weapons were being prepared for use against the police, were not, because the Occupy LA probably never prepared any such weapons for attacking police. And if they were going to do such things, they would have mentioned them in their General Assembly, so meeting notes would show whether protesters had planned anything in self-defense, which would be reconstrued as resistance or violent. It's no different from the Phoenix police alleging that Occupy ALEC protesters assaulted them with nail-filled sticks. Such nonsense is police speak for when we're doing some crowd control and they were touched by the sticks holding up protester signs so that something in the camp can be used in some alternate reality and made to be seen like a bamboo spear or some other object in a parallel universe, probably similar to weapons that would be used to hurt people. And that's what police sources citing. Additionally, nearly 200 of the remaining Occupy LA protesters who'd been arrested and were in jail were released yesterday. Some of them had endured what can only be called sadistic abuse while in police custody. In fact, Yasha Levine of Exiled Online was arrested and wrote a post about being in jail that included horrific examples of abuse. 292 people were arrested in Occupy LA. About 75 of them had been released or had gotten out on bail, according to the National Lawyers Guild. Most were still inside, slapped with $5,000 to $10,000 bail. According to a bail bondsman, that is unprecedented fees. Misdemeanors are almost always released on their own recognizance, which means they don't have to pay any bail at all, or at least most $100. Occupy Toledo. Today, about half an hour ago, two people who attended the General Assembly were arrested in front of the church where they met. The Toledo Police Department was arresting people. There were at least four Toledo Police Department marked cars, two unmarked cars, and two police vans. Eric, an attendee of the General Assembly, reportedly yelled, "Let him go," and was immediately arrested. Obviously, the police didn't like his suggestion. Grace, another attendee, after witnessing the arrest, asked the officer for his badge number and was also promptly arrested. Obviously, speaking to a policeman is an offense in Toledo. Grace was later released and received a misdemeanor for disorderly conduct. Well, so much for Occupy News. Let me go back, and we will go to, let's see, I think we just did Occupy 3. Yeah, so we got Occupy 4, part 4 of the Polyanic interview. Lillian, anything else you want to say at this point before we start?
Oh, only that there is a little provision called equality under the law, and if I were one of those protesters in jail, you know, being given an excessive fine, I might really be looking to contact a lawyer.
Lillian, it's always wonderful to have someone with intelligence on the job. Thank you so much. Here, let me continue with the Ludwig Polyanic interviews.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for all. Also, I must say the problem is, I'm talking with my friends around the world, also from America, and I try to find the way to make some support from outside Slovenia, because the border in our we have a lot of borders in our head in Slovenia, because if I want something to represent something new in Slovenia, they see me as a public enemy. This is, and when I come to offices through the Slovenia and talking about conventions, I'm a public enemy. And this in this we have in the 4th of December we have election, and in this election, when we try to do something as I'm also a president of political party STSP, and we try to go to election, and the government put out from reject us, because our idea is very clear, very honest, and they make the same principles to reject us as in former Yugoslavia, when have the good system to reject one person or one organization or one system which is free or imagining world in case of constitution. And we have now in this moment big action. We make lot of letters and complaints to our constitution court, our prime court, and other systems without any answer.
Let me ask you this, sir. Does the European Human Rights Commission have any say in this matter? Or, of course, you have to appeal to your own judicial system first. But do you think that there's any help that can come to you from the European Human Rights Commission?
In this moment, we inform immediately a lot of European institution, also the European Council, but the system is too big to react in short time.
I see.
I think it's European community have 600 million people, and if you see Slovenia is 2 million part of this big amount. This is in case for other countries in this moment when we have crisis, global crisis, economical crisis, and so on. But the problem is ethic crisis. This is problem, the crisis in our heads, and so on. I think they don't think about a lot of our problems in Slovenia in this moment. I expect in next few months some reaction, but it's too late. It's too late, but we make all action. We don't stop because we know. Also, I know I am right. In all cases, I'm right, and this idea don't stop me.
Well, sir, let me ask you this. I realize that they are disallowing your candidates. And they found a technicality to do that. But does your party, SPSP, do you have some publications? Do you have newsletters? Or I know that your access to electronic media is limited, but are you still reaching out to people? Or must you quit all campaign-like activities?
We used all possibilities which we have, but the problem is the problem is the these parties which is which lead the Slovenia last 20 years is all person is former communist or schools in former system.
Sure.
And this is problem because. All these people have money, all these people, privatization, the former public, for the public, public fabrics and objects and so on, they have money, and also they have hand on national TV, and they used or abused this power and don't allow normal people or normal or new parties to become the members of parliament. They do all which they have to do in this case.
Did we lost Richard?
No, I'm here, I'm listening.
Yes, this is problem. We try to do all we inform about internet, but the people who lead Slovenia last 20 years, they have the power to control all of parts of life in Slovenia without put in case with constitution and so on. It is tragedy. And people here in Slovenia is very depressed. You must know the incoming for months, for a lot of people, for 60% is in level about 500 euros. And retired people have about 400 to 500 euros retirement in months income. This is problem. But if you come in Slovenia, you see good cars, new cars. But also in Libya, I have information the people have good cars and so on. But we have no freedom. We have no personal freedom because if you don't have money, you have no freedom.
Yes, we see some of that same phenomena here. Let me ask you this. I've seen some of the documents that say that you're hoping for some write-in votes. Do you think there's a chance that maybe in some areas you might get a write-in candidate elected?
In this moment, we expect between end of this week a decision from Constitution Court, also from Primary Court, because they must answer before the election. But I know the system; they make answer after the election. But in case they rejected, the government and people rejected our candidates in all of 8 units, election units.
Districts.
This is problem because we have abnormal system, because someone can come to campaign to election with 3 signs from former parliament members or 50 signs from voters from some voting district, or 100 signs with people in districts, or with 1,000 signs for voting people. And if you see, I tell you 4 different ways to become to campaign, but this is not allowed with Constitution and European Convention, which said all people have equal way to become to election or be elected. And people in Slovenia and governments and politicians don't know election is the same as Olympic Games. But by us, no, because if we start to 100 meters, we must start to take 100 meters, other people 500 meters, and other people 30 meters. And this is problem. In case in German, in Council of City of Berlin, in this year become the members of this council from Party of Pirates. You know this.
I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, also in Sweden Parliament, because the member of Parliament is one from Party Pirates. By us, this is impossible, because in Slovenia, democratic times from 1991 to today's, no independent candidate became in parliament, because they have no possibilities, because all election system is not
equal,
and also in different, which say Constitution and Convention.
I see. So essentially you're saying if only one or two got elected, they would not be able to do anything because the majority would still be controlled by the old group.
Yeah, yes. This is problem. Because if we don't change in a few months or 1 or 2 years, we lost the Slovenia. Because the members of parliament 20 years which lead the Slovenia, they steal all of companies, of programs, and so on. And after 1 or 2 years in Slovenia was nothing. The big problem is in Slovenia from 1991 we have public property, and the politicians change this without any judge rulings to private property.
Right, they're dividing it among their friends.
Yes, this is problem. And I know why our party don't have allowed to become to election campaign, because all of these people know when become the prime minister and new people in parliament from new parts, they must change all and they must ask people, what do you do last 20 years? What do you do to become a billionaire in 2 years? And so on. This is the general problem.
Ludwig, did you say that they steal businesses? Is that what you said?
When it goes from a state business to a private business, it's being doled out to political favorites.
Yes, yes, yes. Also, public things, fabrics, objects, schools, and so on, they make privatization without any possibilities to make decision the people which built these private properties. This is problem. And if you see someone in Slovenia 15 years ago, they had nothing. In this moment, they are owner about 10 or 100 or few hundred billions of euros property they have without working or them family working few 10 years to build this. And this is problem. This is problem. The same problem is in all of country former East Europe. This is the same. In all these countries have the same problem. But in last two or three years, Slovenia lost good position in Europa in all kinds of life. And this is problem because people have big troubles in Slovenia to live, to make a standard, to make future for children and so on.
This has been a really amazing interview, sir. Well, that was another really interesting situation. Many people ask the same question of our congressman. How come you went in at one salary rate and you come out a millionaire? It seems to happen all so often.
Oh, boy, that revolving door. Isn't that something?
And, of course, here in the state of Florida, where our Republican governor sees that everything should be privatized, they were asked, can you show some evidence as to how privatizing all the prisons south of Lake Okeechobee would in any way be beneficial? And they said no, they're just not going to show that because, frankly, it's about, you know, doling out crony capitalism to a few important business and political associates. We've got one more segment to play. Lillian, what do you draw from this conversation? What lessons can we take here to apply in Florida and in the United States?
Well, I think it's very, very clear that we're facing the same thing here. The level of arrogance from politicians now, saying they don't even have to answer or be held accountable to the kinds of decisions they're making. They're just so blatantly in favor of those who are paying their private, you know, lining their private pockets instead of the politicians. I think it's really critical for us to take responsibility, just as Ludwig is doing, for our own participation in this government, whether it's just by voting or whether it's actually by going out there and getting involved. Staying really informed and aware is the most critical thing, and making certain that that goes on for generations. You know, it wasn't so long ago, less than 100 years, which may sound like a long time for some people, but when you think about the course of human history, really not, that we had something very different going on in this country. We didn't have corporations ruling everything. We didn't have a Federal Reserve System. We had private banking, and we had companies that were earning and then using their earnings to make expansion. We had people who were participating in good measure with what was being earned by, you know, as a consequence of the labor of their own hands. And there wasn't this great divide between the super rich and the vast number of impoverished people. So I think it is very, very important to stay informed and aware, because at that point in time, there was a very informed and aware populace. And then we lost track of that, and we let all sorts of things kind of happen behind our backs in Congress along the way to strip us of so many of our rights. At this point in time, what have we've had the Magna Carta in protecting us in terms of being brought into our way of law and our private property and our private letter writing and our private homes. And you hear Ludwig talking about inviolability. Well, we just toss that right out, you know, with the Patriot Act, and still at this point, nobody's being held accountable. There are people who voted for that who are still in office, you know, and there's not that much of a stink about it. I mean, maybe in a little way, but it should be over and done with. And so I think it's, again, to stay informed and also to stay participating. Continue to call, continue to write, and hold people accountable. And by that measure, I think we'll see some change back to the way things ought to be.
Yeah, I do want to mention one more thing before our time runs out tonight. You know, we've been talking about Occupy LA and Occupy DC and Occupy Portland, where the police have been very, very aggressive and very cavalier about the citizens' right to assemble, a right to freedom of speech, right to redress of grievances. But surprisingly enough, we've seen quite the opposite in Miami, in Lake Worth, and in West Palm Beach, where the police have been quite accommodating and very supportive and certainly not overly aggressive, which they deserve a compliment for.
Indeed.
That's always refreshing to see. I also wanted to mention one more thing. Those of you who appreciate the work that Elizabeth Warren did to try to protect consumers, she's under extraordinary attack, and the Wall Street firms have come out and totally, totally just washed this guy in funds, her opponent, Brown. He's received $97,000 from the likes of four financial giants: Fidelity Investment, Goldman Sachs, Massachusetts Mutual Life, Liberty Mutual, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. So I hope you'll do what I did and send some money to Elizabeth Warren, who actually does care about the citizens of this country. We're going to run over a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and play the final 8 minutes of our interview with Mr. Polyanik. So even though we're going to go off the air tonight, please come back and tune in again. Remember, these shows are all recorded and backed up, so you'll be able to hear the interview in full. So we've only got 3 more minutes of airtime, and I've got about 8 minutes left in the interview with Mr. Polyanik. So thank you so much for joining us, and I'm going to go ahead and play this out. And thank you so much, Lillian, for joining us as well.
Thank you for hosting us.
Okay, you take care, and like I said, now we'll go with the final 8 minutes of Mr. Polyanik's interview. I think many Americans, if they have heard of Slovenia or Yugoslavia, have really heard it in the context of the troubles that have been between Bosnia and the breakup of Bosnia and other ethnic problems with Muslims and Christians there. How are the religious relations there? Hopefully there's not so much religious friction between Muslims and Christians in Slovenia.
The problem is, in this case, we have practically no troubles because the population, which based from former Yugoslav republics, Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, Macedonia, is about 10%. But these people, which have based in this former Yugoslavia, but born in Slovenia, they are in head Slovenia, and we have no ethnic troubles.
Oh, that's wonderful.
This is wonderful. And from this case and from other possibilities which have Slovenia is a very, very nice country. We have sea, we have Alps, we have all nature which you have in America, we have in small place. I invite you to come in Slovenia. You see, this is a small heaven in nature.
That would be wonderful, sir. My own family heritage comes from Slovakia.
this is like this. From our to Slovakia is about 500 kilometers. Slovenia is based in position in Europe when we can from Slovenia in few hours we have visited few European countries, but we have in tourism we have possibilities as Switzerland. In other cases we have good cooperation with German producers of cars. We make parts of cars.
We make cars
by Renault. We have good possibilities, but old people, which become from former Yugoslavia system, head in head, and they don't put out this from hands. This is problem. And good ideas in Slovenia is not put in life. They have no possibilities to put in life. We have about 2 million inhabitants, and in this moment we have about 110,000 people without works. This is registered, but I think it's about 10% generally.
Let me ask another question about the results you're waiting for from your high court. If your high court, as you said, postpones past the election a decision, I would imagine that you're going to be then preparing for the election after that. Is it every 4 years, every 2 years? What kind of election cycle do you have?
We have generally in constitution we have 4 years between election to election, but in this year we have Imamo pre-time elections because the decision of people from politicians is to make 1 year before the normal time because we have premature election because they study the situation, and if they know the problems becomes in next year, we expect the big economical problems in Slovenia, and they want to put the problems to other parties, and or be the first to make the system the same, because the big troubles in Slovenia is produced from politicians which working last 20 years in Slovenia. In case we have good possibilities, and if they prefer or they not reject, we can have small problems with this economic crisis. But if we constantly steal money and put to private banks outside Slovenia, then you produced the crisis in amount big as a normal.
Has the American diplomatic corps in Slovenia taken a position on this election?
I don't see this in I see they have no position. I don't see diplomats from America to say something to one or the other side. They have a neutral position and they are very correct.
Let me ask you one other question. Is there anything that our listeners might do? Can we write letters? Is there any way we can help you and the SPSP party in your work toward making sure that constitution that you have on paper is a living document? Is there anything we can do to help?
Yes, you can make a lot for us if you contact Miss Lillian and put a letter and so on to our to your diplomatic people in Slovenia, to your diplomatic court in Ljubljana to study the position of different party in this election.
Well, I can tell you, sir, we are with you. The struggle for human rights is a never-ending battle, and the struggle for those high principles to be see them in action is so important. Mr. Poljanek, I want to just thank you so much and wish you the best of luck with your court ruling and with the elections to come.
Thank you for all, and I invited you and your listeners to come to little part of Europe named Slovenia.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was wondering if I could get everyone to introduce themselves. My good helper who put this interview together, Lillian.
Yes, Lillian Taylor, Shine by Hand, with Ecologic Advisors.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Poljanek?
Yes, my name is Poljanek Ludvik. I'm coming from Slovenia, Slovenska Bystrica, and I wish you a good day for all Americans and all people around the world.
Thank you again. I hope to talk to you soon, at least when after you get elected, sir. Good luck.
Thank you for all. Good luck.
And there we have it, the entire interview with Ludvik Poljanek. Again, I want to thank you for joining us. And I want to thank you, Lillian, for helping us and all the work that you've done to put this together.
Sure thing.
Okay, and you have a good night, and we'll see you next week.
All right. You take care. Thank you again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.